Hi. Jay is in sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to be straight.
That's right.
The Bible doesn't condemn gays. I know many of you do. But just want to tell you, gay is not sin. That's all there is to it. Now, you know, there are ways that you can find out about is gay sin or not. Did you know that you can actually find this out? To know it as absolute fact? At least to absolutely change the way you think about it? Because, you see, this is something that God wants to do something about. Up to now, generally, Christian-wide, we got a gays not allowed policy, right? Gays cannot go into the pulpit nor knowingly by you allowing them to say, hey, you're gay, we want to hear you. Or, for instance, there's some gays out in your pews out there. The pastor's looking at them, and they're sitting out there, but he doesn't know they're gay because they don't dare say they're gay. You might condemn them. You might have to put them in programs. You might have to call them up and try to guess. I mean, you have all kinds of ideas if you knew they were. But one of the things is you would not allow them to stand up and give a testimony about what God's doing in their life or to give account of their walk in Jesus Christ and their faith in Jesus Christ. But if they were to stand up and say they were delivered, you would love that. The thing is, the policy that you have concerning gays is don't let them speak if it's positive. If they are accepting that they're living in sin and they're accepting to submit themselves to you trying to get that out of them, then you will hear from them. Then you will allow them. But to have gays that know something about the Bible, that has faith in God, you won't allow. So you don't know what's going on in the gay Christian community. And most gays may not even know what's going on in the gay Christian community. And gays going in generally to the gay Christian community outreaches and churches and stuff aren't actually 100% sure knowing what it is that's being done. See, God's doing something. He's preparing a people. And they're getting more and more confident in their faith, learning more and more about Jesus. You know, the gay Christian churches have been around since 1967 when it started with Catholic gays. Then in 1968, it went on to Protestant gays. Then in 69, you got the secular movement beginning. So we got getting onwards up towards some 40 years that gay people has a radical change in their life compared to what before that time. You generally don't know a clue about it. There's so many things in history, so much about to happen to you, and you don't know a thing about it. You're just there along for the ride. The rapture's going to happen. Who cares? Let's sing and praise God and wait for His return. There's prophecy in the Bible concerning this and other works that books that were nearly going to be put in the Bible. It was chosen not to be in the Bible simply because it wasn't as poetic as what ended up in the Bible. And much more information. That is showing some things that are going on in the world about the coming Antichrist kingdom. They're not going to be some magical person show up one day and say he's got all the answers. Whoever shows up is going to have credentials they could produce to you with all a backup network of showing they're totally, completely qualified to stand in the temple, the new temple in Jerusalem, and say, I am God. you will see somebody come into being that is going to be somebody that you like. And he's not going to have a good part of the world hating him. You know, so far, all of the antichrists that people want to look at generally has a concept of a good part of the world just hates his guts. Don't like him. Think he's more antichrist looking than anything yet. Well, this is not how antichrist is going to start. Afterwards, he may indeed look like these people.
One of the people
is not alive anymore. And many people were saying, they used some video and all that, movies, produce movies, and make it look like it was him. Of course, he's dead now, so he's definitely not him, right? But people would have certainly known that Sodom could not be Antichrist simply for the fact that too many people didn't like him. Antichrist, you're going to like. You won't stop liking him until it's too late. Did you hear me? You, as Christians today, will love this Antichrist person. And pretty much you're going to really think maybe he really could be Jesus after all. It's going to be interesting to see how these things work out, but this person is going to really have some interesting credentials. God is working all kinds of places. He's building up things to destroy. Antichrist's kingdom is going to be something around for 7 years or so in an element of something that we would be able to call a one world government publicly. Right now it's a one world government, but it looks like there's so much differences in so many countries when there really isn't. Behind the scenes, everybody's working for the same thing, to get this man in power. And it's happening. We can look into history and see things that are happening. History that when we grew up and were taught in school is a little bit different than what the real history is. We got religious leaders that we just think they're such a wonderful. There are people out there bringing millions to Jesus Christ. Go figure. Satan is bringing people to Jesus Christ. Again, go figure. Satan personally is working through people, bringing millions of people to Christ to say the sinner's prayer. Sometimes thousands at the same time get saved. And if you follow up, they go to halfway decent, regular, sort of, basically acceptable generally to all Christian churches. So it is a kind of a mind-boggling thing to think that there's a man up there preaching the gospel so well that millions get saved, and yet, and that these Christians are basically going to supposed to be halfway decent churches. I mean, everybody has faults and everything, so maybe it doesn't matter for a whole bunch of different kinds of churches. So they get settled into a church, and then there's the pastor teaching them. So, go figure. Satan's not dumb. I mean, why would Satan stand up as a preacher and say, come to Jesus Christ, he can speak better sermons than any of us Christians. Your pastor can't produce a sermon better than Satan. Satan can. Satan can get down and get people come to Christ. Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? But you know, there's got to be a way that we get a one world government. We gotta let him get in power. Christians, we're gonna help him get into power. And then it's gonna be too late to do anything about it, and we're gonna have to go through some things that isn't exactly fun. And you're going to have to deal with stuff that you were responsible for getting the guy into power. You were a good boost to get all the religions together, and you didn't think so. At the time, you thought, another, and you would swear. You would die swearing. You would go, that man over there is a Christian. And yet we listen to lots of people that doesn't take a whole lot of research to find out their true faith. Lots of household name ministers are 33rd degree Masons. And if you're 33rd degree Masons, God is the dark evil God. You believe Lucifer didn't fall. And so, that way, no matter what comes out of the mouth of a person that is a 33rd degree Mason, they believe Lucifer did not fall and is God. In the meantime, though, we just look at them and say, oh, wonderful preacher, wonderful. And we don't have the concept. We hear in prophecy, we love to hear revelations being taught and all that, and we say, oh, you know, there's going to be false teachers. But your idea of false teachers, I mean, if you get a Bible and on the front of it it says Satan's Bible, you're going to say it's Satan's Bible, aren't you? So you're going to think that if it's a Satan's Bible, you open the page of it, it'll be describing witchcraft or something. Well, you know, all these kind of stuff we always hear in the depths of kind of like, say, Satan worshiping stuff. And in actuality, the Satan Bible was kind of a jokingly written, as it were, at the mouth of the founder of it. The documentaries, he met there telling you, he just did it because he wanted to defy everything Christian. So it wasn't based on a whole lot, but now it's the Bible of people that... But anyway, Lucifer, to many of these people that are teaching us, is not fallen and is their God. Why? There are lots of reasons. One reason is get a lot of people saved, because they're maybe going to get saved anyway. Why did they go to a Billy Graham crusade? Why did they go to a big TBN rally or something? Why did they go to some of these humongously large places where so many get saved? They have some kind of hunger for Christ. So they're going to find their way someplace probably to Christ anyway. So why not get them saved quickly and get a Bible in their hand that they can read and get conditioned to accept Antichrist later? So basically what this is entailing, because what is happening, more Christians are getting saved. More people are accepting you. More people, and what do? They go to these churches. You know, it's only been in the last 20 years or so that we've changed over from one kind of a Bible to other Bibles. When the nation of Israel became a nation, actually it was only a couple of years before that the first modern version hit the bookstores. Now, there was a revision in 1901 or 1902 or something, but that revision was really minor and it didn't have a lot of effect. It wasn't even considered a revision of the Church of England Bible. So it wasn't really considered a modern version, actually, but it was a sort of a minor revision situation. But in 1948, we really got our major modern version, the first one. And in that word, Bible particularly, they actually took two Greek words out. One of them meant catamite, which is expensive cowboy. The other one meant sodomite, which is a male temple prostitute. They removed those words, and some of the other modern versions kept basically some of those words, but they just added another. Because some of them they actually say shrine prostitutes or something, but then it says homosexuals. So you got the actual meaning, but then you got a new meaning put in. Well, some of the new Bibles, they just put homosexual, be done with it. But this started in 1948. Then Israel became a nation. What do we know about Israel becoming a nation?
One of the most popular things is that
that generation won't pass away till Jesus returns. He doesn't say that exactly, but the concept that we now have in our guts is anybody born on the day Israel became a nation, Jesus is going to be back before they're all dead. We have various ways of deciding what's going to be. Some people want to make it in 1967 when Jerusalem came back to Israel. Well, we got lots of ideas and stuff, but the basic idea is it's from 1948 by most people that are believing that Jesus is coming back pretty soon. So now, the counterfeit Bibles will work. Before, how could a counterfeit Bible work? Everybody will be dead before any of the major deceptions can happen. So there'd be no point to a modern version. The modern version's got enough information, even though they're quite corrupt, to keep you saved. And you'll go to heaven. It's a guaranteed type of deal. You die, and you'll still have your faith because there was nothing to trick you out of it or anything, or to decide. You weren't the last day's church. So Satan would be foolish to have modern versions before Israel became a nation. Now, after Israel became a nation, you needed a good time to get these Bibles going. And they started right away. Then they kept building up. As we get closer and closer to the end time, now we got everybody's modern version. But most people believe what's in the preface of the Bible. Oh, it's gone. A lot of them will even say original. You know, from the originals and stuff, but they're not. They got 50 to 80,000 corruptions. So now we got in our Bibles, in all our churches, these millions that are getting saved by Masons are going to church, and all of a sudden you got a modern version. Well, King James Version, forgive it, man. Why do we want these and thous anyway? We speak English, modern version English, so why not read it? And besides, we can use whatever version we want, so we can see it from this side, we can see it from this side, we can look up at it, we can look down at it. We get all the different ideas about how we could get our message across that we want to get across by saying it's a different version. It's a different angle of the same story. It's not a different angle, people. It is subtly. Subtly means extremely slight. It takes time. It's a conditioning factor. Over long periods, you're reading and rereading, reading and rereading, and it's getting conditioned. On the surface, it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. You still believe Jesus is the Christ. Why not? There's nothing to deceive you in any other way. Who cares if that Bible is not particularly Christing Jesus, like the King James does? You read the King James, you put the King James here, and you put any other modern version next to it, and you can go to some sites that actually lines up several Bibles to the King James, and you go look through it. And maybe as crazy as it might sound, once you start reading a few of these, you say, how come the King James always have to emphasize that Jesus is the Christ? And of the promises he's given us, and all things Jesus is emphasized verse by verse. It always has to have the additional, this is Jesus. While you look at the modern versions, why waste the time? We don't need to put the word Christ in it. We don't need to do all these other things. You can just assume it's true. And it subtly conditions you that a time is going to come when you're going to see things with your eyes. Things are going to be revealed to you. It's going to be on news. And we're getting some of it now. And you're going to say, but this can't be true because Jesus is the Christ. And then you're going to go back and you're going to look at those Bibles and you're going to read it. And now if you had King James in you, it's so far gone that you're saying, wait a minute, it is comparing. It's not really saying Jesus is the Christ, at least all up. You're beginning to doubt now and think that these things you're seeing is true. There's going to be some counterfeits that are really something. And this is the kind of thing what I'm telling you about. You don't even go look around about the things that's going to affect your faith in Jesus Christ in the coming days. You like to condemn people along the way. I'm using the same type of thing. You want tradition, not fact. You don't want to go to King James Bible where you have some meat to start with to then go research the ancient language in ancient times. You just want how it is. Everybody condemns gays. So we don't need anybody telling us anything else. The simplicity is, when you begin to study, you'll find these things out. The gay issue has something really interesting involved here. People. And Jesus, you know, our faith is Jesus comes inside. Isn't that interesting? Because what happens when somebody says, I believe that you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day? Come on, people, if you don't believe Jesus, say this. In Jesus, say this. God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your only Son, that he came to earth, born of a virgin, that he died on the third day for my sins. Come into my life and forgive me my sins. A simple prayer like that will get you saved because you are believing he is the Son of God. And the story behind this, he was born of a virgin. Then when he started his ministry, 3 years later, he did what he came to do, die for your sins. You're supposed to climb on the cross and die. If you died for your sins justly, you can't live again because your sacrifice of dead and blood and whatever is not good enough. But Jesus was good enough. His blood was pure enough to forgive all the sins of the world that ever was. And so you can accept them. And he lovingly got on that Christ for you. And then God rose him on the third day. When you believe this kind of thing and you tell somebody, somebody asks you, or you go tell somebody, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ, you sign your salvation and you become saved. Then something happens. Jesus comes inside you. And if you pay attention, you can feel him. You can feel the sense of God that Jesus is there 24 hours a day, every day of the year. And you know this. Then you notice also your life changes. And you call this testimony. We have testimony time. Let's speak. Hey, gays also accept Jesus. Jesus also comes in, so it does not matter what you personally think about things. What matters is Jesus came into them, and they now have a testimony. The years go by, and they can get up and say what Jesus has done in their life, and you've got to figure out why Jesus did these things to somebody you think is living in outright sin. It has to make your mind wonder what's going on. They're getting physical healings. They're getting answered prayers. They're getting blessings in their relationships with their ones they love, just like you. Everything of the blessings that you call Christ-given is happening to gays. Now there's one more step. Not only does gays have a testimony, there's gays that know what they're talking about. There's gays that know the Bible on this issue. There's gays that got faith in God, that are Pentecostal, that could stand up in front of your pulpit, let you do everything you believe, and then they could speak, and God will move on what they say. And you have to then figure out what happened. Why did God move on what a gay person said and not what they said? I'll talk more about these things in the coming weeks. See you next week.